Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The year is 2075, and our world as we know it has passed. This is the sixth age, a time of magic. Powerful megacorporations and the shadow runners who do their bidding, flitting in those gray spaces between law and disorder. In Chiba, Tokyo, the Dragon Friends have become indebted to a powerful underworld figure, a fixer known only to them as Mr. Sour. He sent the three of you on a seemingly simple mission to provide backstage security for the SenseNet pop star, Johnny PlayStation. A simple enough mission that you have managed to spectacularly fail at. I should say by the three of you, of course, that I mean Baston, Bobby, and Friezo. Filge is nowhere to be seen, who was lost ever since you arrived in this strange new place. Now, as the dust settles, the riots subside and the fires are put out at Chiba Mega Stadium, a somewhat sheepish Bobby Friezo and Baston meet their benefactor behind the loading bay. The rain belts down as Sour glares at you over an upturned collar, his troll bodyguard, Mr. Lambert, standing to his side.
"Well, my friends, you are now, as you put it, in the shit," he says. "My friends at Horizon will not be happy to learn that their most valuable assets have absconded, and yet this seems to be the case. Even now, I am told that PlayStation subdermal trackers are not responding, and it appears our musical friend has left Japan. To be sure, he will be missed. The same, I think, will not be said of the three of you."
Sour makes a complicated gesture, and Lambert pulls out a vicious-looking pistol, leveling it at you, Friezo.
"I cast invisibility. That is a spell that I have, and I cast it. And as I cast it, I say, where'd Friezo go?"
Hang on, as you cast it?
Yeah.
So you're still visible when you...
No, that's actually the magical words you have to say.
Really?
That's actually the spell, yeah.
So that spell is a standard action. That's going to take about 6 seconds to cast.
Yeah.
So you're just going to start spinning.
What do I roll?
Well, I just feel like you've got a gun pointed at you and you're going to start casting spells.
I'm literally yelling at this man, where'd Friezo go? In that voice.
Okay, and then 6 seconds before you vanish, right?
Okay,
yeah,
right.
Let's count it out. And okay. If at any point you feel this character would shoot me,
yep.
You'd do that, okay?
Go on. Ready?
Okay. Ready? Hang on. So point the gun at me.
Yeah, well, my troll bodyguard is pointing the gun at you.
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Then, Lambert.
Mr. Yeah, Lambert. Okay, ready?
And then I go, oh, where'd Friezo go?
Ready? Count.
One.
Shoot
two,
him.
Three.
You want me to shoot him?
Five,
shoot him in the leg.
I'll
snap. Bang.
Invisible. You're invisible, but did you move?
Yeah.
I went invisible, and then also I became.
Make a dexterity saving throw.
That is a 8 plus 4 is 12. Well, plus 3 is 11.
All right, actually, so we'll make that actually the DC. And, oh, I'm afraid, 14. Yep, you take 5 hit points of damage as you are clipped in the leg.
Does that impair my movement?
Heck yes.
Do I get a movement speed bonus from being invisible?
You get an invisibility bonus for being invisible.
Hang on, is he still invisible even though we shot him in the leg?
Yes. Absolutely.
Is your blood invisible?
Do you know what? Make a constitution saving throw as well. But this time just beat DC 12.
Come on. 17.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, 19 actually. Anyway,
you are so stubborn that despite being shot in the leg, you finish the spell, you fall to the ground, and then gently, softly, slowly fade from sight. Lambert.
But where did he go?
And I say, Lambert, go give him a hug. To make sure he goes nowhere. And so Lambert like lumbers over and just kind of picks
grabs
up this...
you in a meaty
no,
paw.
No, I've already gone.
No, you haven't. You fell to the floor.
Wait, how's he going to pick me up?
Okay,
close your eyes and try and pick me up now.
No, Lambert...
Do it then. You
okay, no, it's a good point. It's a good point because Lambert is not very bright. He goes, where would he be, boss? And
I go, I'm behind you.
I go, remember where he was like a second ago? Yeah, there.
Not too late.
Where? How? You can't just say that.
I've gone.
Where?
You can't.
Where indeed? You can't see me.
So, Hing, I'm sorry. We've. What you're doing now is just telling us we can't do things.
Yeah. How does it feel? How does it feel?
Sorry.
This is very much a one-way street. Okay. Mr. Sauer says you have some spunk in you. This is good.
Broke that.
Is this the word like spunk? I want to say like you have spunk in you. Like
you say you got like, heaps of spunk on you.
I'm sorry. You have lots of spunk on you. You all have spunk on you, and I like this. Perhaps this unfortunate incident can be overlooked, but it is, as they say, above my pay grade. You will need to travel to Horizon's local office tonight. Their new Chiba vice president is not a patient customer. Not exactly a typical suit. Perhaps they will have sympathy, yes? Mr. Lambert will bring the car around. And remember, spunky people.
Wait, what's this guy's name?
I do not deal with them specifically. I go through person goes through me, they talk to a dog tells a cat, I meet with the cat. There are many...
Feels like the dog isn't necessary in that communication chain.
The dog is a cousin of mine.
Lambert brings the car around, a sleek American-style limousine, and you enter the limousine and let it whisk you away? No? Are you shaking your head?
Still invisible. I'm
still invisible. My invisibility lasts for 24 hours, doesn't it?
No.
I leave the door
lasts
open...
lasts for 1 hour, as you well know.
I leave the door open long enough... that I assume Friezo has gotten.
Well, Mr. Lambert's got Friezo, so he bundles in a weird bundle of air into
and then,
the back.
Okay, but as he's doing that, I just sort of very faintly say, this is going to be real weird when I become visible again. Because he's like holding me, and then I'll just sort of apparate and be like, oh, what's that guy doing there?
You know? He puts you in the car, closes the door, then goes around to the front.
Oh. I'm still invisible.
And the car whisks you away to Horizon's Tokyo branch headquarters, an imposing building of silver, chrome, and marble. You take a...
It's a bit much.
It's a bit showy, I agree.
Yeah. Is that what Bobby says as it pulls up?
It's like, ooh, architecturally, no thanks.
Bobby has been in future cyber Tokyo.
Well, I've been
for
in these fancy American-style limousines, so...
Oh, do you raid the minibar again?
Oh, is there a minibar in this one?
Yes.
I keep all the little bottles this time. I have them. I pocket them.
Okay, add them to you.
You have a pocket full of Suntory and Fireball whiskey, which was all they had for some reason. Once you ascend the executive elevator, you are whisked 30 feet, for 30 floors up into the air. 30 feet would not have been very far.
Dave,
a guy goes up 30 feet, the door opens, an NPC gets in. He says...
Oh, who? You? Yeah, man.
And then having a stroke...
Simon, I have to give Ben a lot of notes for this. You can't just throw him under the bus like that.
That man has a stroke and is carried away. And the lift keeps going.
That did not go as I thought it would. I apologize to him.
With a small ding, the elevator indicates that it has arrived at the 30th floor, which has entirely been taken over by the offices of the new vice president of Horizon Tokyo Division. The doors open and you see a palatial office. Water coolers as far as the eye can see.
It's a bit much.
Secretaries everywhere. A executive spa and gym. And at the end of the floor, a giant chrome desk.
Have you ever been in an office before? Ever had a job? What's the ratio of... What do you think the ratio of secretaries to water coolers
is? Hang on, sorry.
In a typical office day.
Hing, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I work at an ad firm, and I know for a fact that you are a host of a video game competition. So I have my limits.
Well, how many water coolers are there? How many water coolers are there in this office?
Oh, like six.
As far as the eye can see. Six.
And at the end of the office, you see a desk, grand and imposing. And behind that
so it's open plan?
Yeah, no, the entire floor.
It's one person's office.
The floor was taken over as one office.
Wait, and there's one office and six water coolers. That is a lot. I thought it was servicing a floor of people.
Yeah,
I'm
me
sorry.
Too.
I'm
that would sorry. Make sense
I take
at least.
It back. My snark was unnecessary. That is a lot of water coolers for one person. Oh, my.
Yeah, you're right, Alex. This used to be a lot quicker. I don't know what happened. And at that desk, you see a figure that you have not seen for almost 30 hours. It cut in an impeccable suit with wide epaulets and burnished white cuffs. It is, of course, Filge the Half-Orc.
Filge is standing with her back to the dragon friends, with her hands clasped behind her back, looking out the window onto the cityscape below. She says nothing.
The blast shields are, of course, closed, so she's looking at an empty wall.
Filge. Filge?
Filge. Filge.
Filge?
Who was that?
It's Baston. He's going to pop
don't
up.
Do that.
Don't ever do that again.
Don't do that.
Like, we'll just say for this episode, we'll just say Baston's trying to be Snagglepuss, because you can do that voice.
Yeah.
We'll just say he's doing a thing, he's doing a new thing.
Cool.
Yeah. Filge is being attended by a small goblin, come to think of it, who is dressed in a black turtleneck, and which has, in future fashion, it has sort of tails on it. And
turtleneck with tails.
And then, like, really military-style jeans with knee pads on them.
That's a bit much.
It's the future. Just go with it.
All right.
Filge, still looking out at the blinds, says, "Ah, this city. Ain't she something?" And she turns around slowly and looks at you.
Hey, bud. Why? What are you doing here? How did you? How are you? Above the bar, but what?
I got shot about 2 hours ago. Can I get a drink of water?
No. me don't have enough water coolers. Oh, fine. Me ask me work slave. Work slave. And I gesture at the man
so
with the...
need to answer the work slave, but yes, that's you.
Wearing...
military pants.
Military right. pants.
Oh, well, that's not strictly speaking my job, but okey-doke, hello.
Is this my 3:15 appointment?
Yes, these are the mercenaries that we got to do the PlayStation job. Shall I kill them? Oh, go on.
Whoa. Hey, Filge. It's us.
Filge blinks at them.
It's Bobby. And Friezo.
Yeah.
And Baston.
Hello.
Don't you remember?
Jog me memory.
I killed your brother.
Filge, like, steeples her fingers and puts them against her lips. It's like, ringing bells.
And then Bobby says...
And then she points them at Bobby.
We were there when you met Katie. You remember Katie, right?
A tear rolls down her face and smears her makeup. Filge has makeup.
What happened to Katie?
She didn't make it.
Oh, your dead rat, didn't he make it? I'm so sorry. Well, here, let me give you a hug.
This is all very touching. Can I just say, either hug 'em or dug 'em. And by that I mean, we'll dig some graves. We won't. It'll be it's a shoot, and then it's an incinerator. But hug 'em or dug 'em.
All right,
Madam Vice President.
Shut up, slave! Yes. I say, and I throw my whiskey in his face.
Oh
yeah, you guys. Hi.
How long have you been here?
3 weeks. Two weeks. Which calendar are we using?
2 weeks is fine.
2 weeks. Yeah, me have had a pretty crazy time, you Chiba. Just worked me way up from the top. Started in the paper room. Started in the mail room, sorting
Has
paper.
Something happened to Filch's voice?
Yeah, is Filch smarter? Is she like, oh, she learnt to speak better? Slightly?
Or have you forgotten how the character
sounds? But, and then she goes, but if Filch exists in this world...
There we go.
And then she just shakes her head. Ah, no, me remember, mostly. It's been a while.
Yeah, Filch, I have to say, it's been a stratospheric rise for the Madam Vice President here, but she's got some sort of affinity with the technology.
What technology?
The technology. Who are you, Johnny Nine Questions? Shut up! And then I take the whiskey that was thrown at me and throw it at him.
I catch it neatly in my mouth. That's a 14 plus dexterity 18.
Yeah, you do it. Right, you're drunk. Congratulations.
Yum, 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 yum. Yum, 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 yum.
Okay, I wave my hand at my work slave and I make him go stand in the cupboard.
In I get. And then he goes, hop, 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 hop. And then he sticks his little head out and then closes it up.
Filch,
where you been?
Something went wrong at the PlayStation gig. What happened was we were there and we were attacked.
Also, we haven't seen you since we got sucked into a vortex.
Oh, yeah. So I'm struggling whether or not to refer to you as Filch or Madam Vice President. What do I call you now?
Filch, fine. Not in front of me people.
All right, Filch, something terrible went wrong. We went to the PlayStation gig to kill him, and then what happened was... We got the word to put... The hit was out on PlayStation because he swapped companies. And...
No, go on.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, go on.
You don't listen to this show, do you?
Absolutely not. No.
Like, even on stage, you don't listen to the show.
What?
And then from the cupboard... Oh, no, Bobby, you can explain what the actual case was.
We were hired to protect Johnny PlayStation.
That's what I meant.
The opposite of kill.
We were there to kill the gnome lady.
Nope. She did have her eyes glow blue and attack Johnny PlayStation.
She did, and then, defended him bravely.
And then you hear from the cupboard, permission to come out of here, please.
And then Bobby spits the glass into the handles of the cupboard to jam it shut.
Okay.
At my direction.
That's a 19 plus 4. That'll do it.
Oh, it's a shame.
Look, guys. We got real big promotion right
now. Just a second. I did a pretty amazing thing by spitting a glass into a cupboard handle just then, and nobody seemed to blink an eye. So I just wanted to raise.
Yeah, you interrupt roll a... me. Filch heard of mansplaining now. You think Filch rise to top of corporate ladder by listening to men? Yes. Me had a really good mentor, but that beside the point. Look, me got big promotion riding on PlayStation becoming top of the charts. So, we got to get him back.
I thought he was dead.
Wait, like, no, so he's like his beacons or whatever got this like offline.
He got rushed away into a morgue.
Mm.
What?
Into a car.
So where is he now? Have you got a tracker on him? Have you got a tracker? Just move
no.
on. Have you got a tracker on him? Let's go.
The tracker has stopped working.
Which was said like literally...
Minutes ago.
No. Like the last thing that was said before you opened your fucking head was that the tracker was missing.
Okay. But you said
Simon got it. Why can't you?
I'm very sorry.
I guess I don't have as much stuff going on as Hing.
Yeah.
So right. I've just got room in my brain for this kind of stuff.
Me check with work slave. And then I open the door and I let him out.
Thanks for letting me out. Oh, I was getting real hot in there. I pissed myself. I did. Sorry about your cupboard. It's at least a bit full of wee. Most of it's in my pants. Anyway, look, the situation with PlayStation's a bit... It's a bit fraught. It's a bit of a stuff-up, frankly. And it's your heads that are going to roll if we don't get him back. Now, look, far as we know, the Vos Saito company have taken him, kidnapped him, caused that hullabaloo at the bloody stadium. We don't know where he is. You mentioned something about a gnome before. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, he's, I guess she's a manager, like an effects designer.
He pulls out a,
A remote, actually.
A remote thing and points it at a wall, which turns into a monitor, and he punches a couple of things in there, and you get an image of Glitter Gleam. And you go,
that's
with this silly Billy.
Yeah, that was her.
And it looks just like that.
Well, she's one of ours.
Well, she went pretty crazy. She also turned into a really scary bear and freaked him out. It seems like she's either working for the other team or she's just like gone bonkers.
Okay, yeah.
Cool.
She seems like a real double agent.
So he thinks about this for a moment?
Or quadruple agent.
And...
the math works out back and
forth. Whatever agent she is, it's an even number.
If there are two sides, yes.
Yeah. Look.
Oh, wait. Are there any other sides?
Because if there are three sides, a quadruple agent would be the... Anyway, yeah.
Look, there are several corporations in how many corporations?
Bilge, like, goes to a bar that's hanging above her desk and flips onto it and goes upside down for a corporate power nap.
You sleep upside down on a bar.
Yeah, that's it's a corporate power move.
How did you find that out?
Sheryl Sandberg.
All right, fine. Okay. Lean in
upside down.
Phil starts gently snoring.
It just occurs to me, it's funny. Threatened to kill you. That was funny. And then I've weed my pants. But you don't know my name. I'm Bobson Dugnut, and I'm the head of security.
You're what?
My name is Bobson Dugnut.
Bobson Dugnut.
Bobson.
Bobson.
Bob. Bobson.
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 Bobson Dugnut.
Bobson Dugnut.
My name is Bobson Dugnut.
Bobson Dugnut continues.
So I'm Bobson Dugnut and I'm head of security, and as such, it's my role to get this very, very important asset back. Now, as far as I know, this Glitter Gleam lady is the only lead we have. Now, I happen to know that she's doing a show in New York tonight.
But can we get there that quick?
It's the bloody future, mate. Well, for me, it's the present. And as far as I know, also for you. But yes, it's just a simple shuttle ride.
A shuttle ride, like a laser shuttle, a cyber net, an intercom with a rocket.
If you like. It's an hour-long journey.
Dugnut, at that point... clicks a button on his remote and a different face shows up, one that seems familiar to you.
What?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, what's the name again? Oh, yeah.
Filge opens her eyes. She's watching now.
Ladies and gentlemen, meet Raoul Chamberlain. Raoul Chamberlain is one of the hottest designers in the world right now. Fashion, clothes, boots, hats. Gloves, ties, belts. Look at anybody fashionable, and they'll say, "I love Raoul Chamberlain."
Raoul Chamberlain.
Raoul Chamberlain.
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 I love him. And he happens to bear a striking resemblance to one Mr. Bobby Pancakes here.
Yeah, that's. Super weird.
Anywho,
Bobby is like. Filch goes, me actually have some of his clothes in me cupboard.
Sorry, I did wee on them.
Yeah, me Raoul had a thing, didn't work out.
Wait, what? You had a thing with somebody who looks exactly like me?
Filge turns bright crimson for a second. Oh. And then he goes, no! Put on piss clothes!
Wait, you want me to put on the piss clothes?
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
And then Dugnut starts like nodding and then takes off his pants and then hands them to you.
No! Not your ones! The ones in cupboard!
Yes, of course.
Raoul's
yes.
clothes. Okay, hear the plan.
Doug Nuts, if you don't need those clothes, I'll take them.
20 minutes later.
Okay.
All
now,
of the dragon...
Bobby is dressed in like a black flowing cape, which is the style of the time. Like a kimono, but more flowy.
Yep, all right.
And we're getting into my private jet on the rooftop of the Horizons Corporation building.
Excellent. And in the meantime, it has been explained to you that you're going to go to New York to Glitter Gleam's concert under the guise of Raoul Chamgalan. And
wait, Raoul Chamberlain?
Chamgalane.
We're going to fuck as soon as someone asks you your name. You're like, my name is Raoul. Blah, blah, blah.
Wait, just one more time.
Raoul Chamgalane.
Cham?
Gerlane.
Raoul Chamgalane.
And you better get it right when you're at
the... So we've arranged...
My name's Robert Chamberpot.
So as you're... as you're entering the jet...
Well, actually...
Sorry?
Oh, there's one more thing. Raoul is French.
Yeah, he's French.
All right, he's French.
Oh. Bonjour.
Dugnut goes on to explain that you have a 60% facial bone resemblance to Chamgalane, that you would... What, you got a problem with facial bone resemblance?
Yes. Just say skull.
The skull is a 60% match, which would be enough to fool most people, would not fool the sycophantic glitterati of New York. So
I cast Disguise Self when I get there at the optimum time for it to last the longest.
That's very exciting. However, they also have a surgeon who will meet you in New York and do facial reconstructive surgery. And they've already booked the surgeon, so...
How much the bloody best?
How much does
he
cost?
He did my taint.
Wait, what's your surgeon's name?
It's Mike Truck.
Mike Truck.
Wait, taints by truck?
Yeah.
I've not been here very long, but I know taints by truck. Wow, that's...
Oh, yeah, how'd that jingle go?
He goes, if you got a taint and it ain't that good, fuck, we'll get a truck.
No, you can't keep getting dice of inspiration for that.
I can sing.
So Bobby has a date with one of the black clinics of New York. The
racist.
Rest of you will be able to enjoy yourselves as well as you can. However, as you are taken upstairs to the jet that I guess you own now, Alex?
Yeah, it called Katie 2.
Does it have whiskers?
Yes.
Are you going to travel
with... X's for eyes?
Yes.
Are you going to travel with them to New York?
Yeah, me come, why not? And then before we go, I go, wait one second. And then I set up like a pillow with some straw on top to sit at my desk. And I've painted my face on it. And that's gonna be the highest paid pillow in Chiba for the next however long this bullshit lasts for.
All right, you make your way upstairs as the jet hums on the roof of the building. There's sort of huge, you know, blasts of air. Your trilby goes flying and you lose it, Bobby. And...
You didn't have a hat.
Not anymore.
And the and as you make your way up into the jet, go ahead and roll for me a perception check. Actually, no, why don't you roll? We haven't used it yet, but we actually have a dice cam. So why don't you roll for us up here? Give me a second.
Okay.
A 3. All right, great.
My original roll was much better.
Dave, is there, like, because this is a private jet, there's no, like, airport security or anything, is there?
No.
Cool.
Okay, that was a 5, and you also failed to hit the dice tray, so...
Baston probably rolls a check, right?
Yeah, and Baston rolls an 18.
Yeah, great.
All right.
me?
15.
15, okay, so...
Can Baston relay us all the information?
Well, we don't need... Yeah.
Keep it, it's fine.
Not throwing dice, everyone.
We got loads.
All right, Filge, you notice something immediately, which is that there should be a pilot and a steward waiting for you on the plane, and they seem to have disappeared.
Someone gonna get fired, I say. And then I click at you. Is old mate Bobson there?
I guess if you ordered him to.
Yeah, Bobson's coming.
Hello!
I go, make note, fire pilot.
He has to call his family.
And then I say, bring me my goggles. And me scarf, and me brown leather gloves. Good, taking this baby for a spin.
Okay, I go and get those items.
All right, Bobson walks into the cockpit and you hear a thump and a muffled whimper and then you hear silence.
Katie feeling feisty today, I say. And as I rub my hands together and I open the door to the cockpit myself.
Okay, you're just opening it wide?
Yep.
All right, inside you see, first of all, lying stone cold on the ground, Bobson Dugnut, who has obviously passed out, and over him, two gangers, but they look sort of like techno fetishists. They have dreadlocks of sort of cables and wires and strange glow-in-the-dark tattoos, and one of them has a strange knife and the other one has what looks like a garrote.
And the one with the strange knife is like, you know, I had this outfit of techno stuff, chips for braids and, you know, my arms all watches and I just have a strange knife, apparently. That's... You'd think I'd have something like a laser gun or...
The knife is covered in buttons and microchips.
Is the door to the plane closed? Like, we're locked in now?
Yeah, you're locked into the plane, but this is the door to the cockpit is open.
Okay. Dave.
Yes.
Dave.
Yep.
What weapons do I have in space, Japan?
That's a good question.
Where we are?
What would you like? You have quite a high disposable income, so...
Can I have a laser pen?
Yep, okay.
A laser pen?
Great, okay. You have a laser pen?
Can I have a gun?
No, I'm sorry. I'm going to need to accept your first answer of laser pen.
Don't I get more?
No, that's it. Everyone else...
You got one wish.
Oh.
Yeah, Bobby got a little smooch.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is like a laser that chops...
No, this is
just
right?
Said laser.
It's a laser pointer.
All right.
Quick. It's very useful in board meetings. It was a clever choice.
Phil J.L., refract the laser pointer through your goggles and blind that man.
Don't mansplain fighting to me, Bobby! I yell back and I grab my gloves off the pilot seat and I slap both the men in the face with my gloves.
Okay, you're going into combat. So the first person up is Bobby.
Where am I?
You're just behind Filge.
I have my electric baton and I like whip it out.
Yep, so the cobra...
Is that a lightsaber, an electric baton?
No, it's literally like a long bit... It's a telescopic baton, which exists now, and with two prongs on the end, it's like a taser. I think this thing actually exists.
Do you have to plug it in?
Yeah, no, it takes AC power.
Okay.
He's got actually one of those converters, so he powered it in the cigarette lighter and the limousine.
Okay.
No, it's you can it has
it's
a charge.
Portable.
Yeah, for about 3 hours, it's like a switch.
I dash... I make
could
a
be
dash.
Playing Switch right now.
I make a dash towards Weird Knife and whack him with a charge.
Excellent. All right. So you rolled a 9 plus 5 is 14. That's enough. So Weird Knife, as he is now called, gets hit. That's D6 plus 3.
Ow!
And he gets hit
four
for
plus three.
7 points of damage.
And I say, shocking, no.
There's a thing I've noticed, which is that you've started to do, like, cool lines after you hit.
We'll see if I keep doing them.
Weird Knife recoils, and then the next up is Garrote, I suppose, who flicks his weapon around and lunges at you, Friezo.
It's a deathly piece of string, he says.
He rolls a 2, so he misses you and goes crashing into the balcony, and the next...
Balcony?
Yeah, the balcony of the plane.
A balcony is one of those words in D&D you could just assume is in the room.
Wait, a private jet?
doesn't work in a private
Dave,
jet.
Dave, you decide all the words that you're going to say in one night and just meet them out bit by bit.
Don't gaze too deeply into my system. You're crashing into a row of seats.
A row of seats, all right. But I've avoided all of...
Yeah, he missed you.
Right. So Freeze, is it Friezo's turn?
Sure.
Friezo yells, "There should have been security!" And then pulls out his gun that he has on a plane. He has a gun on a plane.
Yes, he does.
And he fires it into the back of the head of the guy.
You're firing a gun on a plane.
It's not flying, though, because there's no pilot. So I fire it into the back of the head of the guy with the garrote.
Isn't he facing you?
No, because he...
Oh, he barreled past
me into the seats.
Great. Roll.
That is a 4.
Okay, you miss. Everybody make a willpower saving throw. In a small, confined space, a...
In 8.
A Colt 45 goes off. So, Simon, you have disadvantage for your next row as your ears are ringing very, very badly.
I would also...
My ear is ringing. My single ear.
With it, anything makes it worse. And the next up is you, Filch.
Fair enough.
I take one of the plane safety laminated sheets from the back of one of the chairs.
Yep. And then have a good old read.
And I, like ninja star throw it, or just regular throw it, at Weird Knife's face, in between his eyes.
Okay, cool. Yep, roll.
That's a 13. Do I get anything else?
Plus 2, so 15. You know what? That will hit. It's a piece of paper.
It's laminated.
It is laminated.
You do two points of damage. So he's mildly inconvenienced. And in fact, it's now his turn.
What? Can I have disadvantage because I'm a little bit confused as to why this is occurring?
Wait, no. Are you garrote or Weird Knife?
You've had a piece of paper thrown in your head.
I'm like...
Laminated.
Laminated piece of paper. I'm like, hang on, is there more to that than... Was it poisoned? I don't...
I'll tell you what you can do. You can... okay, you have to attack Filch because Filch now has your attention.
All right. And he turns to Filch and says, "Didn't think you'd be on the plane, old sport. No hard feelings. Just tying up loose ends." And he lunges at you with a knife.
Oh, it would have been good if that was the garrote man because of the piece of string.
Yeah, he was going to say that, but...
That's a 15. That will hit you, Filch. So you've been hit with the knife, which does 6 points of damage, but also you start to feel a weird sort of scratching at the point of injury. So there's some kind of something strange has happened.
Where? What do you mean a scratch?
Well, that's what a knife does. Like, a knife goes...
Oh, I can feel it for the first time.
It's burning in a strange way.
I think the knife is poisoned.
Oh, wait. Is that? And then I take it and I lick it and I go, "Oh, it poisoned all right." Yeah. Guys.
Anything that makes it work faster.
I say, they have poison in Japan.
Who knew? Yeah.
Now you've got 2 points. You've poisoned yourself in your neck and you've eaten poison.
All right. Bobby, you're up next.
So is Garrote Man like
he's
lying?
He's prone.
He's on
prone.
The ground.
All right. So I leap up on a chair and I... punch the ceiling so that the breathing apparatus comes out, and I yank it out, and then I go to him and I garrote him with it, and I say, "Make sure you help yourself before helping others."
Two. Take it. You've got the dice of inspiration. You want to use it? Yeah. All right. That's a 19. So you. You take it. That's a sneak attack because he was absolutely not expecting it. So you're garroting him. 2 bonus dice. Oh, wine goes everywhere. And roll. okay, so 3, 6. So that's 10 plus. You do 14 points of damage, and he passes out underneath you. And only the knife wielder remains. And the next one up is Friezo.
I cast invisibility.
How many times can you cast level... Is that a level 1 spell?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I've got like 3. We would have rested in the plane or something or whatever.
Maybe. You've just arrived at the plane.
I'm pretty sure...
He's got an eye mask on the whole time.
I don't have my other book, so I don't know. But I think it's a... All right, fine, I won't. I'll just cast a witch bolt this guy then. Bearing in mind that I tried to not cast the witch bolt.
Okay, so you throw your gun to the side. You begin to create strange shapes in the air as your eyes glow black as jet, and you...
And he goes, let's see what the outcome is.
So I roll a 17 plus 5 is 22.
And he goes, cool moves, man. Because he thinks he's dancing.
Right.
That's what he says.
And then I do, what?
That's one? A D12, so try again.
No, okay. Yeah, that's the 1D12. Isn't that what I'm rolling?
Isn't it 1D10?
No, 1D12, oh, plus okay. 5 to hit. I do 7 points of damage, plus 5. Oh, no, that's the other. Sorry, I do 7 points of damage.
All right, so you do 7 points of damage. He's badly wounded, and the next up is you, Filge.
I lunge at him with my laser pen, and I stab him in the eye.
Okay, make an attack.
I turn the laser on and I say, time for some surgery! And I look at Bobby with thumbs up.
Like, I give her a big thumbs up.
All right, roll the d20. A 7. But plus
strength?
You'll be using your brute strength.
20, plus
because
4.
This was a weapon that you asked for, I will say, and because you are an executive, that you do have proficiency in using it. So that's... and probably like this. So that is just enough, which means that it does not a huge amount of damage. Let's say D4. Oh, wait, no, it's into the eye, isn't it? So 2D4. You know what? He's dead.
Bobby says... the doctor is in your eyeball socket.
The plane takes off a short while later after the pilot has been revived and.
No, I'm flying it. It's my plane.
No, okay. What is actually
me plane? Me.
I know what you're gonna say. Yeah. Okay. So what is actually happening is Filge is flying it. In the seat next to the pilot.
You know how Maggie
Simpson device.
With some special controls that she's been given that say that they're better than the other ones.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to be connected to anything.
It's a metal dinner plate.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
With some buttons glued on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry, boys. Me got this imported from Korea.
High above the Pacific, radar shows a plane fast advancing on New York with a dinner date that cannot be forgotten, for it is the opening night of Glitter Gleam's new retrospective, a fantastic night of art, culture, and the finest society of New York, and a date with four strange adventurers new to this land that will not soon be forgotten, for their purpose has brought them face to face with Glitter Gleam, and in this moment, she shall know reckoning at the hands of the dragon friends.
Oh, thank you!
The Dragon Friends are Alex Lee, Michael Hing, Eden Lacey, and Simon Greiner, and are DM'd by me, Dave Harmon, with NPC voices by Ben Jenkins. Shakira Khan designs our website, and the podcast is edited, the theme written by, and all live music performed by Mr. Benny Davis.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.